Step out of the shadows and into your sunshine. For generations, we have been limited by what society, colleagues, family members, spouses, and friends think that we should be or become. Slowly, we are molded into their best version of us. One day, we look in the mirror and wonder how we became so far removed from our inner light. These are the stories of powerful women and men who broke their chains and embraced their true purpose. They authentically share their most vulnerable moments and how they found the strength to step into their sunshine. Join us as we share our journeys toward breaking the chain of societal expectations for women and men around the globe. Step into a world of enchantment at La Forêt des Lumières, where magic meets mindfulness in the heart of Brittany, France. Unwind with immersive workshops led by master practitioners offering transformative practices to elevate your well-being. Embark on a transformative journey through lush forests and tranquil ponds, where every moment is exciting. Celebration of holistic living. Discover how to regain your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual power to take back your life. Join us at La Forêt de Lumière and awaken your senses to a world of possibility where every moment is an invitation to thrive. Visit www.rachelcoudronevents.com for more information. Welcome back to season three of Step Into Your Sunshine. This is your host, Rachel Coudron, the owner of Etsy Boutique and the mind behind La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience that will be taking place in May of 2025 in Mazet-Saint-Vaux, France. I have this incredible, beautiful woman with me today, and I would love for her to introduce herself.
Hi everyone, my name is Trina Kavanagh-Thomas. I'm an energy and well-being mentor, helping female leaders reclaim their life with physical self-awareness. So I am really excited to be here actually. I didn't know how to like kind of introduce myself on the beginning of that, but just go with it.
I'm looking forward to diving into what you do and how do you do and how do you connect with people and also the
Yes.
physical part of that because so many people are focused on the energy and what how connected you need to be and what's going on, like how does your energy feel in your body? So I think the physical aspect will be really enlightening for people to hear about. The
Yeah.
first question I want to dive into, Trina, is what were some of the defining moments in your life that shaped who you are?
Probably one of the most defining moments in my life, which shaped who I am, is when I almost committed suicide. So, I had postnatal depression, and it was just one evening in particular where my husband was out. And I just got to the lowest point and I couldn't see past that. I had a lot of voices going on in my head. I didn't realize at the time that they were most likely entities at the time. So almost like goading me to go and do it. And then just this kind of like little voice as I was about to do it just went, call someone. They're like, call someone. And it's, sometimes it's in those moments where you kind of take that decision, that action to not allow those thoughts to overcloud you or override you to actually step up and call someone and get the help that you need. It was a long, long time ago, a long time ago. But that was probably one of the most defining moments where I realized I could be led, I could be led into something that I deep down, because the body knows what you want to do, what you don't want to do. Where it was led deep down to knowing what my body wanted, and it wanted to live.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us and sharing it on this podcast. I know that that is a very emotional time and must have been a very difficult time for you. And I have a bit of experience with that as well. I did go through two major points in my life where I was very depressed, and I didn't get to the point of attempting suicide. But someone very, very close to me in my family, my immediate family, did. And that was quite a moment. And she went all the way through. She attempted suicide. And I remember that just like it was yesterday. And I, on a side note to everybody, I did have to go through counseling, and not only for that reason, but also for that reason, because it was such a traumatic time in my life, and the repercussions that came afterwards. And so what I want to ask you is that it seems to me that you chose to take an action to, take that first step and getting yourself out of that state. How did you have the strength to do that?
It was just that voice. I knew I didn't want it. Deep down, you don't want it. I'm not saying and I've spoken to other leaders about this before. We still function and we can still have suicidal thoughts when we hit really rock bottom, really low points. We can have moments of deeply, deeply, deeply low points, and no, deep down, it's not something that we want to do, but the thoughts are there. The thoughts are still there. And I suppose from my position, it was a choice that needed to be made. I'm not saying those choices are easy, right? Because, sometimes you feel like people are better off without you, and that's what was going through my mind at that time. People will be better off without me. What am I doing? Do you see what I mean? You don't think about, you're constantly thinking about the other people. And well, that's what I was in that situation. I was constantly thinking about what everyone else was thinking rather than what I was thinking. And what I was thinking was something's got to change. Something had to change. And the change was I needed to ask for help. I needed to speak to someone. And sometimes we put off speaking to someone. We put off asking for help because we perceive that everyone's too busy for us, But there are professionals out there. I went to therapy like you. In fact, I just not for suicidal reasons, but just my mum died last year, so for grieving reasons, I actually just finished a bout of grief counselling. These are, I suppose, are the ways that I show myself I love myself. And it's hard sometimes, recognizing those things in you and that you have to do something.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really important point is for me, while it wasn't on the brink of attempting suicide, it was on like the one of the lowest parts of my life where before I moved to France, I was in constant pain, starting back in about 2015 time span, so about 9 years ago. It kind of all manifested in where I was in constant pain. My hip pain was incredible. It was like a level 10 every single day. I was getting injections into my spine to help with my hips. I was in pelvic physical therapy. I was doing all these things. And at the time, I would have only been in my mid-20s. And when I would go to the doctor, they would basically just sort of like write me off, like, you're too young to have these symptoms. You're too young to have this pain. And it made me feel so ignored. It made me feel like I was like losing my mind because I was like, Could I be manifesting all this pain in my head? And then you feel, not to demean this word at all, but you feel a little bit psychopathic that you're like, well, am I talking myself into all this pain? I mean, because nobody else is actually validating that you're in pain. And I got to a point where it was in a depressive state. I'm just like, you have to do something different. Like, you're going to continue down this path and this is going to get worse, or you're going to just have to take a step in another direction. I don't know what that looks like, but you're going to have to do it. And I finally got to the point that I felt like I was at rock bottom, and I was like, I'm either always going to be in pain and always going to be on medication, or there's a potential for me to heal. Which am I going to choose? And when I tell people that I'm vegan, I always get met with like really strong emotions. Like, oh my gosh, I have no idea how you do that. That must be so hard. All those things. But for me, it was in that moment, was like, that was the one option that I had been looking into that I thought, oh, maybe perhaps it could help me. And
Man.
so I just went in that direction, and I was like, okay, I'm committed, because it didn't even matter all the things I was losing. It was just like, if it could help me with my pain, if it could help me at my lowest, then I was willing to do whatever it took to
Oh,
get out of
absolutely.
that.
Absolutely. And I think, what you describe, what probably both describing here is a letting go, a surrendering. And that kind of surrendering has a massive impact on your well-being, and obviously that point in my life that I mentioned right at the beginning, that was a long, 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 long time ago. And because it was a long time ago, there was a letting go in that. Letting go of the person who was too scared to ask for help. And then your life changes. Your life changes. You start to look into different things. People come out from nowhere. You have the therapy, or maybe you go down the route of energy work. Whatever you decide to do, there is, someone will come through because you've created the space for someone to do so. In that kind of surrendering, in that kind of moment. And it seems like that's what you did as well. You surrendered to something, you let go of what, everyone else was telling you, and you listened to what you needed. And out of listening to what you needed, you got exactly what you wanted, right? You got exactly the thing that you were dreaming of, right? I can easily sit here today and go, I have an incredible life. I have an incredible life. And if I had taken myself out of the world at that moment, I would not be sitting here today going, I've got a grandkid. My daughter's on holiday in another country. She flew there yesterday, my son has just gone off on his school trip today. I've got so much to be grateful for. My son made the bus this morning. I was really happy. He got out of bed and he got on the school bus on time. I was like, yes, thank you. But we go through those moments. They can be hormonal. They can be also, it depends on what triggers them, but sometimes they are triggered for a reason. Sometimes there's deep dive dark moments are triggered for a reason, and sometimes that reason is for us to seek some kind of light in everything, in the midst of everything, in the midst of all that kind of darkness. And I mean, it is dark. It is dark. That position is dark, but then when you face that darkness, there's light. There's light.
So much so. And I really can relate to what you're saying and understand the notion of surrendering. Because for me, I had to surrender everything I had been priorly taught about health, about where you go when you're hurting, about who do you trust to take care of yourself. And also this idea that we always have to go to somebody else to take care of ourselves. And All of those things had to kind of leave my body and my mindset. And now, years later, almost a decade later, I am so much different. I 100% feel that that act of surrendering helped me guide myself to the light, helped me understand what I actually needed and the power that lay beneath my skin, the power that lay within my heart and within my mindset, within my drive and my motivation. And I would have never discovered that had I not given, like, surrendered those ideas and those ideals that I had been taught throughout my life. And now a decade later, I'm the person that's like advocating for controversial things here in France when I think about like advocating for holistic practices, for alternative practices, for
Absolutely.
holistic modalities for like your health, for physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And people are looking at me, with a one eyebrow raised, like, who are you? And doctors are the answer. Don't be coming at me like you know anything. And I'm just here to shake all of that up because from my personal experience, is the doctors didn't have answers for me. The doctors couldn't explain my situation. They couldn't explain my pain, and they couldn't give me anything that alleviated that the pain and the root cause. Like, they put me on so many different prescriptions and medications, and all it did was just kind of dull the pain. It never fixed it, never relieved the root cause, none of that. And so I think that is a beautiful lesson that you touched on there about surrendering, because it is terrifying to surrender, but it's also one of the most empowering experiences of your life.
It is, and sometimes it's not always easy to do, neither. That kind of surrendering isn't always easy to do. Sometimes it's done like, under intense pressure. Intense pressure is like, oh my God, I just give up. No, is like intense. And and what you were saying about like all the medications and stuff, I mean, like, that's unethical. A lot of that stuff is unethical. My mum, when she died, she was like taking 24 to 26 tablets a day. And from a at what point is that ethical? As a GP, as a doctor, at what point is it ethical to know that your patients are taking that many tablets a day, right? To know it, to know. When your client, when your patient comes to you and goes, you know what, I've got anxiety, that you wouldn't like kind of go, okay, I see that you are taking 19 tablets a day, and these ones have a side effect of anxiety, right? These ones have a side effect of anxiety. These ones affect the stomach, and we know from science that the stomach can affect anxiety too. So if the gut microbiome has issues, or if there's any issues within the gut, then that's linked to anxiety and linked to stress. So it's almost like all these, a lot of science you can, like you can look at, you compare science with, a lot of the holistic work that is being done. You can compare, like you can put it side by side. Thankfully, they are starting to research consciousness. There is something called biopsychosocial science as well. So we're looking at biology, psychology, and socio sorry, yeah, biology, psychology, and sociology. So you're looking at the person's body. You're looking at, what's going on in the mind, and you're also looking at their environment, their social environment as well, and how that impacts someone. And it's all written in science and stuff about how, if you have things like, there's issues at home, you're not feeling safe or anything like that, that does affect your well-being. It affects your well-being and it affects your biology. So we are going down that route, but what happens is that while it's known and while it's seen in science, doesn't get really talked about. And if you start talking about it in certain ways, it then gets labeled as misinformation, even though there's a lot of science to back it up.
100%.
Longitude science as well. Longitude, you know?
Yes. I 100% agree with this. And I think I've seen this so much in my own life. When I decided that the first step was me becoming vegan, but after that, then my whole life changed in every sort of way. And went down, I tested out and continued to do many holistic practices. And because it helps maintain my body, my mindset, my mental state, all of those types of things. And I've seen the turnaround in my own life. And then people are like, that doesn't work. I'm like, well, is that because you haven't tried it? Is that because you have been taught it doesn't work? Is that because it's not what you have seen to work? And so I have a lot of questions about that because people are so, the wrong word is gullible, but that's the word I'm gonna go with, is that they have been taught for years, for decades, that like this is who you talk to if you have a toothache. This is who you talk to if you have anxiety. Oh, you need to go see that doctor to get some anxiety medication if it's hard for you to fly. Or you are falling asleep and sleeping for 10 hours and or 12 hours, and then you go to three classes at the university, and then you need to come back and sleep for 3 or 4 hours. You know, oh, well, there must be absolutely something wrong. You need to go to the hospital, you need to go to the doctor, and you know, all those medications that come forth from the doctors. And
There are, and I do agree. There is also a caveat though to the to everything that's going on. There has to be a balance, So there are times where we are going to have to go to the medical industry for certain things, like I'll be really honest with you. I was trying to like Google anything spiritual, holistic for my wisdom tooth, right? I said this wisdom tooth and it just kept growing and growing and growing. I kept biting the side of my cheek and it was getting infected all the time infected. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm gonna have to just deal with it. It's spiritual, it's a wisdom thing, right? So in the end, I actually just went, you know what? I also can't live like this. So I actually just went and just had it like removed, And after that, it was like, and my spirit team were like, thank fucking God you've taken 6 years to listen to this on like having this tooth removed. You just went through all this pain and what for, But it was almost like, this is the beauty, isn't it? Because we've got this. The issue that we've got right now is this imbalance. We rely too heavily on the medical service, too heavily on the medical service. Whereas there's not an imbalance, where some things we are meant to use it for. If there's something that is like obstruction and like a twisted gut or something like that, that's the first thing that come up, a twisted gut or something, you're gonna have to go see someone. Right, and they are going to have to medically intervene and do something. And in those situations, fucking hell, what a fucking marvel of a service we have, right? It's hard work to do stuff like that. But then in other situations, there are a plethora of situations where you don't have to go, where you don't even need to see a healer, that you can actually just sit with yourself. You can go through the process of letting go of something. I talk about this quite a lot. There's a video, in fact, probably in the next 40 minutes going out on my page. But I suppose this will go out later. So there'll be a bit, there is a video on my page talking about when you let go of a weight, right, in your life, you let go of weight in your body, right? So this is like where, say, your mind overruns you all the time, and it's like, and this is this, and you could say this, and I'm just going to go with my own experience. And you don't realize that it's your usage on social media that is doing that, that is, the thing that is equaling to that. And then when you take time off social media, you switch it off maybe for a week, 3 weeks, just as a little break, or you go on holiday and you think, I'm not going to pick up my phone on holiday. Then you realize during that time, oh, none of those voices existed. None of this, and I could do this, and I could write about this, and I could talk about it. None of it exists. And then you go back to social media, and then all the thoughts happen again, and you don't realize that you're letting go of social media is the key to letting go of all those overriding thoughts. And sometimes we don't realize that sometimes if we're in the wrong job or, in the wrong relationship, we'll eat more. We'll eat more or we'll eat less, as a kind of punishment in some way, or it's in a way to dampen down how what we want to talk about, how we want to say something. So we push it down because we don't want to hurt feelings. So we get this food. Even I've done it as well. We get this food and we don't know why we're eating, but it's so nice and so comforting to not have this conversation with this person, and what happens is then we put on weight. So when we let go of a relationship, we let go of a job, we lose weight like easy. We go training, we go to the gym, easy. You don't need to hire someone, get someone to push you, to swing a kettlebell, nothing. Because behind what the body is saying, the body's going, right, okay, if you let go of this job, if you let go of how much you give to these people, if you let go of this, you will have this. You will have the thing that you've always been complaining about, the thing that you've always wanted. So,
Yes.
yeah, that's the easiest way to say stuff.
Oh, I think that is so powerful.
I ran off
And
in a tangent, but anyway.
it's okay. Well, it's interesting to hear because it is very, very true that it reminded me, it's not the same line of thinking, but it reminded me of a book I read called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yep.
And that is like, even in your mind, if you don't remember it, can't recall it, have no recollection of it, that your body remembers that trauma or that experience, and intentionally letting things go would only be able to open up your body to heal those spaces and those
Yeah.
places.
Exactly that, exactly that. But what we sometimes do as humans are we fill that space with something else because we're not used to being in the void. And the void is the bit of pain, right? The void is like the darkness. You know, like when I gave up alcohol, for instance, when I let go of alcohol, right? Letting go of alcohol, you are letting go of an aspect of yourself. You're letting go, like you let go of shiny you. Right, you let go of the you that wants to be everyone's friend, right? You let go of the you that kind of wants to have, doesn't want to have FOMO, doesn't want to miss out on something, some gossip or something like that. The you that wants to have certain friends that are actually quite toxic to you. You want to have friends, you don't want to be alone. But the thing is, what happens is when you let go of alcohol, you let go of those friendships. And then when you let go of those friendships, then you face loneliness. And when you face loneliness, you face the void. And when you face the void, you're in darkness. And when you're in darkness, that's where you get to the point where it can feel suicidal. But in that space, to be willing to take yourself to that space and be strong enough in that space, like a tree, to weather that moment in that space will allow the people to come into you. And it does take getting out there, meeting new people. It does take, hey, this is me, this is me, hey, and meeting new people. That's just reminding myself. I've got to call this lady to join this tennis group at the gym, right? But you put yourself in those positions. You put yourself out there to meet people who resonate with you, who are more like you. And I suppose that's, sometimes it takes making a decision. It does. It takes making a decision to do something like that. Giving up alcohol, giving up a diet from what you say. It's hard, right? Because no one's gonna a lot of people ain't gonna understand it, right? They're gonna go, well, that's really, that's really difficult. Yes, it is difficult. It is difficult. It's difficult changing your diet. It is. It's difficult changing your diet. It's difficult going away from what someone has told you what your diet should be, right? And everyone's diet is different, because like my husband's the opposite to you. So while you're vegan, my husband's gone carnivore. So for him, it was the opposite. So for his health and everything, it was like kind of like a flip side. So it was almost like it helps me see that everyone's got different diets for different things, right? And what diets are calling them. What my husband found was vegetables really upset his body. They really, so for him, he found vegetables upset his body. So he would always have like issues with his body. So he kind of went the other way. So it was just, so it fascinates me, like it fascinates me to like watch my husband and like go, oh my God, like he can just eat like that. And then it fascinates me to hear about you and just hear about, what you've gone through as well. It fascinates me. Humans fascinate me. Human diets fascinate me. And what fascinates me the most is that every person is different. Like every person is different, and yet we're all fighting.
That's true.
Every person is different, and yet we're all fighting. And it's like, hold on a sec. If we just recognize that everyone's different, we'll start reaching a kind of equilibrium that we needed to reach a long time ago, because we did. We need to reach this kind of beautiful, harmonious balance that we should have reached ages ago, but we're still fighting.
Oh, absolutely. We most certainly are. And I mean, yeah, I think the harmonious balance is it, in some
Yeah.
ways it's idealistic, and in other ways it's really necessary. And I
It's
think the
natural.
acceptance that people are different and have different needs and have different ways of being is really important. I mean, in our current society and our cultures, no matter if you're in the US, if you're in the UK, if you're in France, politically things have been gearing up for at least the last 5 years, and in all of those different countries for all different types of reasons. And just the notion that it's okay for us to disagree, it's okay for us to be on different
Yeah.
pages, it's okay for us not to have the same values, or see the world in the same way. And that's, everybody will be okay. It's better off
Yeah.
for it.
And but that's the thing, right? And it this I'll be really honest with you, this has been going on for a long, long time, a long time. I definitely saw stuff probably about 20 years ago in terms of health wise, where it was kind of like being pushed and led to, but I'm sure there's someone out there who would be going, this has been going on for even longer. Do you know what I mean? But it has been going on for such an incredibly long time. Just division. Anywhere we can divide, my opinion's better than yours, your opinion's better. Do you know what I mean? I know that talking today, we probably both got a different opinion on stuff, right? But that's cool. We're still here having a chat. We've not fallen out of each other. I'm not like saying, oh my God, death to Rachel, because like, or anything like that. Because why? What is the point in that? What is the point of us fighting each other over something, right? There's no point. All that it's gonna do is just affect my body, right? That's all it's gonna do, is just affect our body. But there are people that out there that know that. That know that the more that we are having aggro with someone, the more that we fight someone, the more that there's going to be an issue in the body. And if there's an issue in the body, then there's a pill for that, right?
Absolutely.
There's a
Oh,
pill for
so much
that,
so. Yeah.
right? There's a pill for
Yeah.
that, and there's a pharmacist and there's a doctor for that, and there's something for that. Whereas, when we're led to the right things that are right for us, when it took my husband letting go of his job to move into a different job to find what worked for him, right? So it took that letting go for him to find out. And I think it's in that letting go, it's in giving yourself the time, the space, then you get the energy that you need to make those decisions, to execute those decisions, and to go beyond those decisions. And what I'm seeing, even from your conversation, that you've gone beyond that decision, it's like 10 years later. Wow, incredible.
Yes, I mean, I think that is really important because when we go back to the beginning of our conversation and we took like that first step, that you made a phone call, I made a decision to change my diet, and it was just simply that decision, and then we took the step of, that was in alignment with that decision, right? And then that it doesn't stop there. It's not like, okay, she made one decision, her life is totally different. No, that doesn't happen. It's like every single day you continue to walk that path. And just like you had mentioned that, at low times, maybe professionally or low times in your life, those suicidal thoughts do kind of creep back into your mind. And it's coming back to your being and saying, no, I made a decision a long time ago that I'm not going down this route. And I am continuing to make decisions that are in alignment with my new choice, with my new direction, with my new version of myself. And I'm learning that right now as we speak in kind of a different type of way, is like really getting into the core of who I am. Like, what are my values? Where do I stand? And where are my boundaries on those values? Are they up for debate? Are they not? Is this like, this is where I stand and I'm not moving anywhere from this? And like you said, also how it impacts other people. You said when you gave up alcohol, then you gave up all these versions of yourself, all the friendships, relationships, interactions with people. And I think it's the same when, even if you're not making massive decisions in your life, if you're making the decision of like, who am I? What do I stand for? What are my values? And then you decide that you're going to stay in alignment with those, then those people that don't fit that alignment sort of fall off, or they're no longer there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes they fall off in a very catastrophic way, like you've pushed them over the
Yeah,
edge.
that's true, yeah.
Or it's happened in a way that you've walked away, and it's just a, I say it's just as simple as that. It's not, letting go of social media, not letting go of social media. I have let go of social media quite a lot, to be fair, and I'm letting go of it fully. But letting go of alcohol led to letting go of, gluten in my diet. Letting go of gluten in my diet let allow me to let go of certain other things in my diet. What I wouldn't allow in my body. However, what I started to learn was is that when you go through things, sometimes you are still going to eat certain things when you go through things, and being okay with that. Because sometimes if you're not okay with that, it's that guilt and that shame that keep that perpetual cycle going again, right? Because it always comes back to guilt and shame, right? When you don't, because I'll share a story and I think it will kind of resonate with people. And this is a story that wants to come through. So when my mum died last year, right, I gave up like a lot of things, sugar, dairy, obviously alcohol, gluten as well. So there are certain things that I wouldn't have in my diet. Now, when my mum died, I was really upset, but it wasn't upset that I would ever go back to alcohol. I could never go back to alcohol. But what I did do was I would do like a placebo where I would drink something non-alcoholic, or I'd have a mocktail or something like that, right? Because I needed to go through something. I needed to go through something. I wouldn't eat things like gluten, but I would eat like, stuff that didn't have gluten in it. So to go through it. However, when I went on holiday and it was coming up to my first birthday since my mum died, and I could feel this emotion in my body. And what I did was, because we were on a holiday and there was like a buffet, I just wanted cream, like, milk. I wanted cream, I wanted milk, I wanted dairy. So I got myself some fruit because I always eat fruit anyway. And I actually got a scoop of ice cream and a load of fucking cream on it. And I ate it. And I walked outside with this eating it, right? And I'm like, oh. My husband just looked at me and was like, what the fuck is going on with you? I'm not sure if you'll edit this out. But anyway, this is how I talk. But he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, don't. I'm going through something. I can feel it. I know it. I know I'm going through this, but I'm not doing radical responsibility right now. I'm doing radical self-care. This is what I want right now. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to lean into that little girl who's inside and I'm going to be with her because she needs the ice cream, the cream. This is something to satiate her right now because her mum's gone. But I didn't realize what it was. And then, like a couple of days later, as it came up to my birthday, the emotion came out. And I went and I said to them, even though I was, eating this every day, and I went, I know it's only going to be for a few days longer now. I know it's only going to be for a few days longer. Now, when you, and it was only a few days longer and I came off it, right? But when you are in a guilt and shame cycle, oh my God, I shouldn't have eaten that. Oh my God, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't. That is the moment when you are going to go back to that. That is the moment when you stay in that cycle, right? I know it's only been a year since my mum died, so I can know that if I go back into it, I'm going to come through it and I'm coming back out of it. But I'm going to allow myself to go through it. I'm not going to guilt myself into, oh my God, I'm eating sugar. Oh my God, I'm doing. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to do it until that emotion is ready because I know I'm going through it until the emotion's ready. Once the emotions come up, dissipated, you return. I wouldn't do that with alcohol because I know that alcohol's got a different detriment effect. So to, if I drink alcohol, you're going to get wasted, you're getting out of it, right? With things like, to me, with things like, and this is probably maybe my mindset where it goes, with things like dairy or things like that, to me, they're things that I can go through, right? I'm not going to wake up in the morning with like this horrible hangover or something. But I know I can go through that and let go of that probably easier than what I'll probably be able to with alcohol. I don't want to go through that with alcohol. I can do probably do it easier with sugar and stuff like that. So yeah, that's what, and then it comes up as one big ball of emotion. I still do the work in between. I still go inwards. I still sit with myself. Social media, coming off social media helps with that. I know my son's gone away for 3 days now, so networking this morning, podcast with you right now. Tomorrow, I booked the day out to go on a spa for myself. So I'm actually going to go on a spa. I'm on my period, right? So I'm going to look after myself. I'm going to take days out. I'm actually gearing up to take a couple of months out. I'm putting a sales team in place at this moment. So at the end of this month, I'm shutting off my social media and taking 2 months away from my business, right? I'm grieving. You do those things, right? You do those things when you go through moments in your life. It's okay. It's okay to switch off. It's okay to take time. It's okay to have space. Because in doing so, you fucking do so much for your well-being in return, right? You do so much for your well-being in return. And there's always that little aspect of you of like, oh my God, what if everyone le I actually wrote about this morning. And it's a great question to the audience, actually. I'll ask this question to the audience as well. You're thinking of a decision right now. My decision is to leave social media, right? And I've already made that decision. But the one thing that I knew I needed to work on was what I was really afraid of. So to the audience, what are you really afraid of? When you're making a decision on something, diet, whatever it is, your well-being, your body, leaving something, leaving a relationship, starting something. What are you really afraid of? What are you really afraid of? Because I tell you what, when I wrote about social media this morning, when you leave social media, what are you really afraid of? That they will forget me, right? That they will forget me. And it all comes back to, when my mum, I went to nursery on the first day. That was the memory that came up. My mum walked, she left me at nursery and she walked off. Right, here you go. Shoved into nursery. Bye bye. Walks off. You see your mum going past the window. You're 3 years old. You don't realize it's 3 years old. Oh my God, my mum's not coming back. She's abandoned me. Right, now I know my mum's not coming back because obviously she's dead. Do you know what I mean? I know I say that in a really funny way, but sometimes these are the only ways that, emotion, and this is probably one of the things I need to mention in this podcast. We neglect laughter as a vital emotion. We always think of crying as the emotion. Hey, I'm not crying. Are you laughing? Yeah. Good. Because laughter is also an incredible form of medicine too. So yeah, I do go off on little tangents as I'm talking, but I'm
I
sure
think
people will
it's,
get this as I'm talking.
I think you have so much wisdom, Trina. And I wanted to go back and just touch on a couple of things that you'd talked about.
Yeah, no worries.
Was one, I wanted to commend you for giving up alcohol because I knew that must have been a massive decision
It
and a
was.
lot of work that you have to put in every single day to maintain that status.
No, actually, I would have thought that I would have to maintain that every single day. No. For me, 5 years on, I can easily say I look at alcohol and I don't want to drink it. And I know that if I ever want to drink, I'm going through something. So yeah, I don't have that. Yeah. To have
That
that,
it's
fucking amazing.
wonderful,
And
yeah, an
yeah.
incredible thing that an incredible feat that you have done. I also want to talk about your emphasis on allowing your body just to feel and to giving yourself grace. And I
Yes.
actually just recently published a personal episode on my podcast about this, and I called it Pausing Perfectionism because for me, I never really thought that I had perfectionism. It was always other people, right? And
What you see in them is in you, that type of thing.
right. And so I realized after some reflection that actually it was me that had my desire to be a perfectionist, and it kind of comes out in different ways. And what you were talking about is for me, it's not necessarily like after this podcast, I have to go and edit every or hesitation or curse word or anything out of that. It's not like that. It doesn't present itself in that way, but it does present itself in a way of, well, you for 5 months straight, you posted all of your podcasts on Mondays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. every day. But on that 6th month, you had a loss in your life, and or you experienced some really significant situation. And I fell off totally off the ladder for 2 weeks. I didn't post any of my podcasts, and then I get to that point, right? Then you're at this point and you're like you said, you're like, okay, if you beat yourself up about it, then you're gonna go back. So then I go through the stage of beating myself up about it, like, ah, why did you do that? You were doing so well for 5 months, and then month six came, and was it really that detrimental that you took out time to deal with this thing? And I just beat myself up about it. And that's where my perfectionism comes. It's like, well, I'm no longer on the hitting it every single week status. Now I've for 2 weeks have posted nothing. I've lost 4 episodes. I probably lost hundreds of listeners. I just like I go down the rabbit hole of all the things. And I
Yeah.
know so many of you guys that are listening can relate to this. And I've had to talk to myself in that episode where I
Yeah.
talk about pausing perfectionism. I talk about like giving yourself grace that you did really well. Acknowledge the things that you did really well. Like I did really well for 5 months. I made sure that every two, twice a week, every week for 5 months, I posted an episode. And you know what? On month six, I really had a difficult time. It was not only did I have a difficult time recording a podcast, it was like I had a difficult time getting out of bed, like functioning. I really needed to have the time to actually focus on myself, to focus on the
Yeah.
things that were like to have internal conversations. What is bothering me so much? What is causing me not to be able to sleep? Those types of things. And I realized in that it was just like people have to, like, you have permission to give yourself grace
Yeah.
and to say, I know I'm taking ownership that I didn't do the things that I had told myself I was going to do, or told other people I was going to do via my podcast. This is just an example so all of you guys can share in with my thought process. But I gave myself what I really needed in that moment. I gave myself the self-care and the self-love and the time and the reflection. And
Yeah.
then now I'm back and I'm more powerful and I'm ready to go. And it's okay to go to start again.
It
To
is.
recreate what you've already created, because for me, I have the most difficult time. Like, if I'm doing something really well and then I fall off the bandwagon, I'm just like, oh, what's the point of restarting? You know, now it's all ruined. And I know that other people can relate to me.
Yeah, likewise, you know. And but the thing is, these things, happen and they occur. And particularly if something like, obviously, sometimes it can be procrastination, right? Because we know we're on a hurdle of something or some kind and we're going to the next level of some way. But then other times, as you said, quite rightly so, physically, something's happened to you, right? Physically, you've broken, right? And if you carry on, you could break even more. And in those situations, you've got to give yourself grace. You've got to give yourself a moment. When you're going through a loss, when you're going through, and we can be our own fucking toughest critic. We can, we can really kind of like come down harsh on ourselves and stuff. And even I can, I came down so harsh on myself, not realizing what a significant loss that I was going through, that I am still going through. This is a significant loss, right? And I have the ability to really kind of come down on myself, and I have to bring, and this is why I do take time off social media, and I have mentioned this quite a bit, but this is why I have to, because I can't deal with everyone else's opinion on what I should be doing, right? When you're going through grief, there is enough coming from yourself in the first place. Trust me, not a mental, and went to an incredible mentor, and at the time, I ran two big well-being events, right, going through this time, and I had so much hate and so much hurt during that time because I felt financially I couldn't take that break. I felt financially I couldn't give myself permission to down tools. And I remember her saying to me, because I was like, I had so much hate towards people who were able to drop everything and maybe take a year out or something, because that's what I wanted. I wanted to take a year out. But like the universe had other plans. It was like, create this event, and do this. And now I've been give, granted the, not granted the permission. The permission's always there from yourself. But now it's kind of worked out where there is space for that time. But she did say to me, like, you need to give yourself the compassion. I would probably say that I probably don't always give myself compassion, the compassion that I really, really need. And I feel like we're always working on stuff like that. It's about recognizing it in yourself. I recognize it better than probably what I did. I recognize it better now. I could have easily gone, right, okay, fuck that. I'm going to work for the rest of June, and I'm going to work through July, and I'm just going to work into August, and I'm not going to take any time off. But what I've been taught, and what I can see, and what I can feel, is that I've done that before. I've pushed through before. Each and every time I push through, and I realize actually you could actually just took some time off there. And it's really funny because the same person who mentored me actually gave me this. She,
Oh.
it's a pink aura quartz, which is unconditional love, right? Which, found its way to me because, we all have flaws, right? We all have flaws. And, I am, I still have flaws. Even when you do deep physical self-awareness, there are still moments where you kind of like go, oh, maybe I shouldn't take today off. And I'm like, no. I'm more so now than maybe than what I was before. But at the same time, you also have to take a little bit of responsibility as well. So there's different caveats.
Absolutely. I think one thing that you really touched on that I really resonate with, and first I want to tell you that I'm sending you lots of love and support for the
Thank
loss of your
you.
mom. And while I'm still fortunate to have my mother, my mom has been very sick for about 18 months now, and she lives in the US and I live here in France. And there's been many times throughout the 18 months I thought I was going to lose my mom, and it's really hard. Like for
It
me,
is.
my mom, I talk to my mom every day. And during those times when she wasn't responsive and she was just like getting weaker and weaker in bed and like losing muscle mass and weight and all those things, it was really, really hard to watch. And the fact that now she's better, but she's not like recovered, and she's having a really difficult time getting to the recovered state, is it makes everything just a bit more precious. Like, I don't know how much more time I have with my mom.
Yeah,
And
man.
so I can really relate to this idea that, like, if and when the day comes that my mom is no longer with me, I'm gonna need that time. I'm gonna need that space. Because I could just, while we're not in exactly the same spots, there's been so many times I've just thought, like, my mom's not gonna be here tomorrow. Like, she's
Yeah,
just
man.
not. And for me, when you talked about society expectations and social media about all the things that you should be doing, I can totally relate, because throughout this whole experience, say my mom being sick, is everybody and their cat and their dog have an opinion about what I should be doing or shouldn't be doing. And every time I post about my mom, or if I have a podcast interview like today, then I always get a message. Are you sure you want to do it today? Like, are you having a hard time? And which is always very kind. But for me, is I find so much purpose in my podcast and in my holistic events that really fill me with purpose and like give me life, that if I take those parts out of my life, alongside with like all of the loss and trauma that's been going on with my mom, is like I would just completely unravel as a person. And so for me, I love my work. I love like putting my heart and soul into it. And I love what I do, and I need that. And so many other people are like, oh, you should take some time out for yourself. Maybe that's too much for you. Or, maybe you shouldn't be here at this retreat because, you're suffering or you're hurting right now. I'm just like, what? You need to, like, I understand that you are trying to be good intentioned, but right now it's like, I know what's best for me, right? I know my body to know that I need this, and I just need you to like kind of take a step back and let me be me. Let me be the version of me that I know I need to be, rather than the version you think I should be.
Exactly. And you know what, right? And this probably strikes a chord with me actually, because even I've heard that as well. Oh, you're grieving, so you can't work. Let me just tell you, but I've run two events, two spirit and well-being events during the time that I've been grieving. Connection Mind Kingdom, suicide, and then my uncle died as well. So that was the end of my family. Right, so my close family, all both my uncles and my mum and her sister, but all gone now, and both my grandma and granddad as well. So they're all gone. However, I do have my family, I do have like my cousins, etc., and all that kind of stuff. So I do have them, but what I've gone through is the childhood's loss of family. So and then to create two incredible events out of that, and there is a lot of well, you're grieving, so you can't work or anything like that. But there was also equally a part of me that didn't want to work for a little while. There's also a part of me that wants to take a bit of time out, which I'm trying to stop myself from doing. Hence, that's why I kind of put stuff in place where I've got my work still continuing. Does that make sense? So I've still got, I still got stuff continuing when I switch off for a little while. But one of the things, and you know what, it's deeply beautiful that you shared that about your mum, because one of the things that I realized, with my mum going, is that I didn't have the relationship with her that I actually wanted to have with her. And partially I stopped that from happening. Also as well, there was a lot of stuff going on with my mum too, which I found very difficult. But one of the things that I got to do, and I know a lot of people don't get to do, I got to have that conversation. The conversation where it's near the end. I got to have that conversation. The stuff that had gone on. I got to have that conversation. And that conversation came about because my daughter said to me, "You have one chance of having a conversation with her, and I don't think you're going to get that conversation." Now, I know we don't know when our parents are going to go. I do feel my body knew. I do feel my body knew. I feel like my body knew because it didn't want me to sign up to my degree again. My body was like, "You're not meant to be doing your degree this year. No, don't do your degree. Don't do your degree. Spend some time with your mum. Spend some time with your mum. Don't do that degree. Don't do the do. Spend some time with your mum. Your mum's had a bit of cancer and stuff. Yeah, she's gotten over it, but the cancer came back. And I did sign up to the degree, and my mum had this hip operation because they felt like taking the hip away was okay when she had cancer in the hip, Can you hear the anger, the sadness, disappointment, let's just say, disappointment. But my mum, she followed that stuff. She followed the medical rules. She followed the medical line, I reckon if she was there for a little bit longer, as me and my daughter discussed, she wasn't meant to be around for a little bit longer, but we reckon if she was more coming around to the fact of how she was feeling. I feel anxious. She never used to say she felt, I feel, you know what, I feel anxious. No, I feel anxiety. I feel these things. She never used to say that, but we started to realize she was saying those things. So I do feel that my body was trying to alert me that something big was going to happen and that I needed to take some time out. And this is what I've had this time as well. So taking this time, I was going to take 3 months out, June, and I thought, no. I'm going to put some stuff in place in June in my business. So then when I step away in July, it's theirs. I can be by myself for a month, be with my kids the next month after. But I get that pull. There is a pull in me to, it's already there, but there's something in my mind that wants me just to keep going. That wants me to, just keep going. Yeah. And you're right. Everyone is different, right? We get those people that go, "Oh, you should," and I did have that feeling, "Oh, I shouldn't be working because I'm grieving." And even more so, but I also asked my guides, "Is there an in-between way? Can I do things in between while I take this moment to process?" Because what I wasn't able to do was process grief. And what was happening was every 3 months it would come up in one big massive fucking snowball. I get angry at everyone and feeling, "Why am I so angry at everyone? I'm doing everything around here." And then all of a sudden, it all comes up. And what I found was by taking time offline, even if it's a weekend, even if it's, half term, that I'll watch a film and I'll process some grief. I'll cry, Where the Crawdads Sing. I was like in bits, or like I'd write something and then something would come up and then I'd cry just naturally. It wasn't like, and now I see this robin on my allotment. I always know it's my mom. And when I first saw it, I'd cry. But since I've been giving myself the space by myself, I don't cry. I smile now when I see that robin. I sometimes laugh because it's got a worm in its mouth, and I think, my God, my mum's eating worms now, but I suppose like, and I suppose I can't even begin to imagine what you're going through with your mum, because sometimes you go through that process of death before they've even actually gone. Do you know what I mean? And you go through the process of losing a mum or losing an aspect of your mum, who can be there for you, who can care for you, who can do stuff for you. You start losing aspects of that parent, that that you feel should be there for you. Like, don't get me wrong, I feel my mum should be here for me right now as I'm going through this shit. She should be here on the end of the phone. As she is in terms of speaking to her energetically, but physically. Physically, right? Physically, your mum's physically here. But when that body's no longer here, I know I've got that relationship. I can go speak to her. But she's not physically, hearing a walking stick on my drive, thinking, what the fuck is she doing here? Like, those type of things, coming in intrusively, washing all my pots, pissing me the fuck off, right? Those things we never get back, right? I never get back my mum coming in this house and washing my pots for me and cleaning my house because I've not done a fucking good job, because she can't relax. Those things, yeah, my childhood was traumatic in ways, but you know what? My mum showed me that she loved me in the way that she could, that only she could do. But I have to say, her passing has freed me as well, and that's something hard to say. Do you know what I mean? Because like, your mum's your mum, right? And it's also made me realize that I didn't know how to be a mum to my own kids. So yeah,
So
deep.
much. It is, yes. And
Yeah, deep. It realized,
I
it,
can
yeah.
really relate to those things. And what you said about kind of passing before they've actually passed, and because there's been so many intensive moments over the last 18 months with my mom, that I think I've gone through that a few times. And I think if we're talking energy and sort of meant to be sort of things, is that like, perhaps you were meant to reach out to me to be on this podcast for a reason, to have this conversation, to go deep and to share with me and all of the listeners about what grief is really like. And that it's not a, okay, I've taken 5 months, it's been 10 months since I've lost someone important to me. It's like an everyday thing. And those little moments that you're talking about, like coming in, washing the pots, being irritating, like interjecting herself where she doesn't belong, all of those things. And it's like, any of those moments that they're triggered, then you remember this again. And I'm sure that she would be so proud of where you're at and the decisions that you're taking, and the life that you're living and how you parent your children and how you share your authentic self with the world. I'm sure that she is just gleaming at you and being so proud.
Oh, she is, and my grandma, my granddad, like, they're super proud of me. And My mum is definitely proud of me, but also equally, I'm proud of myself, right? My mum said to me when she first got cancer the other year, she said, she came around and she was like, I don't, she goes, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about how you'll survive without me because I'd leaned on her and relied on her so much. And I just thought, you know what? I survived all this time anyway, and I've survived now, right? I have survived without my mum, we've all survived without her. And it made me realize as well at the same time that my kids will also equally survive without me. My kids will survive without me. We'll survive without certain people in our life. We always think that we'll never survive, right? Because it's probably one of the most scariest things, isn't it? Loss. And we're not just talking about loss of someone dying. We're talking about loss of a relationship, loss of self, loss of, there's always that aspect of us that feels like I'm not going to survive this, right? Even when loss of money, let's just say, and I know I'm just about to be debt free, right? Be debt free, and I've just had two massive fucking tax bills come through, right? Just on the cusp of becoming debt free. But anyway, and for the first time when they came through, I actually felt very calm about it because I just thought I survived being debt free, right? I survived being massively in debt. Survived. Fucking hell, I'm here to tell the tale. Like, I'm sat here still.
Yes,
I'm alive.
you
I'm
are.
alive. I'm all right. I've sat here through near-death experience. I'm still here, right? I've survived and I'm thriving. And
Yes.
my kids will thrive without me. I'm thriving without my mum. Right? Do you notice I changed the word around from survive to thrive? But
Yes.
that's what happens. You thrive. You thrive without the boss from hell. You thrive without the relationship from hell. You thrive, but sometimes you have to go into the void to do so. And that's the bit that we just sometimes don't want to face. And we don't have to face it alone. We don't have to face that bit
Absolutely.
alone.
And that's so important. We don't have to face that alone. And that's what this podcast is really for, to help others understand that they don't have to face it alone. If you are somebody who is currently dealing with grieving, this is going to be such an impactful episode for you. If you're like myself, where it's been 18 months of not knowing and instability and left and right grieving and nothing's official, but it's just not coming to fruition the way you want it to. You had to kind of rearrange your whole life and all your own individual and aspirations. Then this podcast is also for you, and this episode is for you. And in the past we've had a when we're talking about individuals having cancer, losing everything, it being incredibly in debt, the lot like the loss of a partner, the loss of a child, just there's so much here for you. If you are struggling, then I'm certain that I have talked to somebody about it, and there is an episode for you. Trina, I want to ask you one last question. What advice would you give to someone who is trying to find their path in life?
Listen to you. Quiet. I mean, I've mentioned this a few times. Just quieting down the freaking noise. Quieting
Absolutely.
down the noise, right? Now, there's two things to think about when you're quieting down the noise, because there are people out there who will give you an answer, right? Yeah, we've all bumped into someone, like these, a stranger in the street, and they're almost like a sage, aren't they? And all of a sudden, they've given us like the light bulb, which we knew deep down. But yeah, always give yourself the time, the space to think, because that is very important. Space to think. Because when you get the space to think, you are led by your energy to wherever you need to be and go in or be in front of the right people for the right answers to come through you. And the
Absolutely.
answers are always in you. Always.
They're already there. They're just waiting on you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that advice. And I think it is very important. It's such simple advice, but it's so profound because so many people are like, oh, yeah, I listen to myself. I'm like, but do you? Do you really? Do you get is are you quiet? Are you reflective? Are you interacting with your internal thoughts? Are you giving your mind and your energy and your intuition space to actually show you the direction that's right for you? And then when it does, don't fight it. Don't fight what it tells you you need to do, because I also have personal experience with that, where my body, my intuition, my visions were telling me I needed to move in X direction. I was like, no way, that's not for me. But I was, how wrong I was. How wrong was I? And just listening to your intuition and reflecting is so important to the development of a person, development as you as a business owner, and helps you outline what kind of life you want to lead.
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. And you get it in advance. You know it already, but you second guess it, and sometimes we just carry on. And the same repeating pattern that happens, that's why that timeout has come up right now, because it's something that has come up time, when I've needed to kind of take time out. So
And
yeah,
now you're
you get
listening. You're go yes, you're listening
it.
and you're going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give yourself that space that you need.
Absolutely.
Trina, thank you so much for being on Step Into Your Sunshine. It has been absolutely mind-blowing having you here. I feel so connected with you. I know our listeners will gain so much by listening to this episode. I would love for you to share with how can they connect with you after listening.
So you can go to my website, which is www.trinacavanagh.com. I'll also give you like my like email link as well. That's a little bit different. It's like a subscribe bio or something, but so I'll give you the link.
Perfect. Well, to all my listeners, I will see you next week for the final episode of season three. I can't wait for all of you guys to be there, and I hope you all have a good night.